This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day radio program here on Cal from Thailand just jumped in here, and now he's got my head all mixed up of like, what radio station are we again? 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Listen at thefanmilwaukee.com. Also on the free Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Joining us now, co-founder of the lead post of Locked On Packers and Locked On Sports Today podcast, Peter Bukowski. Peter, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready for the draft to be here like yesterday, though, so we can just stop hypotheticaling and just talk about the players.
So I actually love that take because I don't even talk about the draft. I'm like the anti-Andy Herman when it comes to the draft. And the reason I don't talk about the draft, and by the way, it is 4 weeks from today. 4 weeks from tonight is the first round in Green Bay. Today's Thursday. It is Thursday in 4 weeks. The reason I do that is because like in past radio lives that I had, I would literally like take 15 guys that I think the Packers could take. I'd reach out to their play-by-play guy. I'd reach out to their head coach or their position coach. I'd have like days and days of content of guys who never end up playing for the Packers, who the day after the draft I never even thought of again and didn't care about. And one day I woke up and I realized I don't care about any of these guys. Like, I care about who the Packers draft. Who the Packers draft or don't draft Thursday night, 4 weeks from tonight, I care about that guy. I want to talk to that guy's high school coach, college coach, position coach, the play-by-play guy at his school. I want to know that guy. Man, the 15 other guys that they could have taken but didn't, that just makes my head hurt.
I mean, I get that. I totally get that. I'm obviously going to deep dive, you know, more on the players that they take when they take them, but for me, I'm just a sick human being and have always been obsessed with this stuff. And so, like, that goes back to, you know, being in high school and like, voraciously reading everything in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and everything Bob McGinn wrote about all these players because he always had the scouting reports. And I was obsessed with the NFL draft before it became a cottage industry. And now it's, like, more than a cottage industry. Now it's, like, a resort conglomeration, multinational corporation. So I like to nerd out about it, but you're totally right about the whole, well, I'm going to probably watch 100 or so guys in the draft. The Packers will take 3 of them. Like, maybe if I'm lucky, they'll take 5.
You know what? I'm a little jealous of that attention to detail, though. Like, the way my brain works, I'd have to go to, like, a mental institution for 6 months if I tried to do that, because my brain is like, I am the quintessential chase the squirrel. Like, I'll be in the middle of doing a show and something will happen and I'll go on a 20-minute tangent. But I do, so there's a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of reverence.
You mean like doing an intro and forgetting what radio station you're on?
Exactly, because somebody just came into the studio and distracted me in some way. Exactly. So, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. I do have to apologize right off the bat. I was not following you on Twitter. I mean, I just clicked follow. I cannot believe that I've not been following you since we saw Katie Holmes together at Madison Square. Did you see Katie Holmes? You were part of that with me and JP Kedoran, right?
Yes. I vividly remember that. That was the thing is, Mitch, that was a long time ago now. Like, that was a long time. That was 8 years ago.
Right. Aaron Rodgers was still cool. Like, I actually spent like 10 minutes in the tunnel after the game talking to, like, normal Aaron Rodgers, who knew who I was at that game, as opposed to the Aaron Rodgers we have now, right?
Yeah, I don't really recognize the Aaron Rodgers we have now, but he certainly wouldn't talk to you in the tunnel.
No, he would not. That man, that night. For those of you who don't know, that was the night the Badgers lost in the Sweet 16 to Florida on the buzzer beater in overtime when they were winning. And I have a phone. I have still have the picture on my phone where I'm taking a selfie of me and JP Kedoran, who used to work for Spectrum Sports. But it's not really of me and JP. Katie Holmes was literally sitting right behind us in the first row, and it's really a picture of Katie Holmes.
And she's like actually a Florida fan. Like, you will see her at games. Like,
yes.
I love the commitment to the fandom from someone who like would not have to be that committed.
No, I totally agree. All right, so we've got some NFL news and notes that we got yesterday, and so I want to start with Stephon Diggs Stephon Diggs was a free agent for a while. It didn't seem like too many teams were interested, and then the Patriots signed him to the biggest wide receiver deal of the offseason. And it's just like, it were they negotiating against themselves? Like, I'm so thankful the Packers, I mean, I'm sure the Packers were never in conversation for a deal like that with Stephon Diggs, but like, how does a deal like that happen a week after, or 2 weeks after free agency, where it's like he got that deal? What?
Well, I think for the Patriots, it was, they exhausted every option before that, and then they thought, well, we got the money. Like, we might as well do something.
Right, they had the money to burn, right?
And that's a position that the Packers are just never in. They're just never in that spot. And I think that if you're a Packers fan, I totally understand being like, hey, you know what would be really nice for a quarterback like Jordan Love is someone who on 3rd and 6, you can call a play for and feel pretty confident that he can give you a chance to get open and get a first down. And Stephon Diggs, I don't know if he is that, but I think that's what you're selling yourself on if you're the Patriots. But at the same time, like, these teams are acting out of desperation because look at that roster, dude. Like, there's no one else for them to throw the ball to. Drake May is bereft of talent on the offensive side as I can remember. Like, even bad teams that we've seen some really bad Lions teams, some really bad Bears teams, you know, just from the NFC North. And I don't know that I've ever seen an offense that was as bad offensively from a talent standpoint as that team last year. So, They find themselves in a really disadvantageous position, and that's when you start to get desperate. I think, too, that's why people were surprised by the Aaron Banks deal, if we want to tie this all the way back around, because
sure.
they paid a lot of money for a guy that I think, like, they could have paid half as much for a player not quite as good and gotten fine play out of. It's sort of like, what is the force multiplier that you're getting here?
Right.
And I think the same is true with Diggs and New England. Like, how much better is he going to make that offense? $23, $24 million a year better? Probably not.
Right.
I think the same is true of Aaron Banks. And sort of like, okay, well then why did you feel the need to do that?
So with Aaron Banks, and let's keep it with the Packers, could they have signed him for less? Not significantly less, but could they have signed him for a couple million a year less? You know, would he have signed for 4 for $70 million instead of $77 million? And I know that doesn't necessarily affect the guaranteed money, you know, a couple million dollars less on the guaranteed money. Could they have signed him for less money, or were they really bargaining, you know, with a guy being signed the first day of free agency, are there really multiple suitors who are at that level?
Yeah, and you just for the Packers, the problem is you're negotiating blind. Like, you don't know. You don't really know what's out there. What I have said is, if you look at the deals that have been handed out over the last two free agencies, I think five guards have gotten $17 million or more annually.
Mm.
And so that's just, like, I understand you go, okay, well, that's a lot of money. But this is the price you pay in free agency for a starting guard now. I mean, this is what the market has become. Robert Hunt, who was a totally fine guard in Miami, and that offensive line has been bad since and was bad then. They said, thanks, but no thanks. The Panthers gave him $20 million a year. Will Freeze in Minnesota just got 17. So this is what this costs for a young player like that. Remember, a second round pick. Like, this is someone with draft pedigree that the Packers probably thought highly of coming out of the draft. And you feel like, okay, you put him in their infrastructure, he can be worth that money. Like, if Mekhi Becton last year, I mean, I think sometimes we learn the wrong lessons from these things. Mekhi Becton goes to the Giants on a really good offensive line. He was making the league minimum, basically, for the Eagles. But he played at a Pro Bowl, borderline all-pro level for them. If they had given him $15 million, everyone would have gone, what are you doing? And yet, by the end of the year, everyone would have said, what a smart signing by Howie Roseman. Now, they got lucky that he turned into what he did, but he ends up being worth that money. I think that is very much in play for Aaron Banks. I do think he's capable of being worth that money. It's just like, could you have spent less and gotten similar value? I think the answer is probably yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the force multiplier effect of, okay, you move Elgton Jenkins to center. You've improved that spot. You've given runway for Jordan Morgan to potentially be your left tackle of the future, or your right guard of the future. There's those benefits of it as well.
Absolutely. Peter Bukowski joining us on Pack-A-Day Radio, Locked on Packers, Locked on Sports Today podcast, co-founder of The Leap. 4 weeks from today, we're all in Green Bay or in Wisconsin, at least in Wisconsin. Most of us are in Green Bay. At number 23, the Packers announce a wide receiver. On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised will you be if that happens?
I think, like, you have to be more surprised than not. So it has to be more than five, but I wouldn't be a 10.
Okay.
Like, 10 is the most surprised. Yeah. Is that the scale we're doing?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably be a 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
probably six and a half. Let's split the difference, because they've wanted to take receivers in the past. In 2020, they wanted to take Justin Jefferson. They wanted him to be available to them when they picked. They couldn't get up high enough to get him. And then they got sniped on Brandon Ayuk.
Yep.
They wanted to take Christian Watson in the first round. They tried to trade back into the first round in 2022 to take Christian Watson. So when Brian Gutekunst says, hey, look, I've never heard anyone in our building say we can't take receivers in the first round. That was not a Ron Wolf thing. It's not a Ted Thompson thing. And it's not a Brian Gutekunst thing. I believe him, but I think they just value these other positions from a positional scarcity perspective more. The question is this year, and I was looking at this yesterday and we did it on the show today. When you look at the super clean fits, the like 10 out of 10 fits for what they look for in terms of size, in terms of athletic profile, Brian Gutekunst has never drafted a player in the first round who did not have enough athletic testing to qualify for a relative athletic score.
Okay.
You whittle that number down pretty fast to guys that could be available. And so, like, I was looking at it and I was like, I'm not sure there is a first round player, a no-doubt first-round player who checks all these boxes for the Packers at a need position, except for some of these receivers. Like, Emeka Ebuka would do it.
Yep.
If you think Jaden Higgins is a first-round player, and I do, the receiver from Iowa State, he would do it. If it's one of those two guys, I think I would reduce my surprise a considerable amount. But if it's someone like, you know, Luther Burden, or if they traded up let's say they traded to 15 for Tedarrell McMillan, then I'm like a 9 out of 10. Then I'm at like, because that would be very surprising to not only draft a first round receiver, but move up and try and get the best one in the class. That would be surprising.
All right. So the next, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would your surprise level be if they do not pick at 23? Either trading up or trading down, which could remain in the first round or out of the first round. Do you think, and maybe not scale of 1 to 10, but do you think they draft at number 23, or do you think they end up drafting somewhere else and make a deal with that 23rd pick?
You know, it's funny to me that Brian Gutekunst has this reputation as a trade down guy, and yet you look at the 2018 draft, yes, he traded down, but then he traded back up for Jaire Alexander in 2019. He traded up for Darnell Savage in 2020. He traded up for Jordan Love. He has a history of doing this in the first round in particular. So if there is someone that they're targeting above 23, I won't be surprised if they move up. But here's the thing. The meat of this draft is between 20 and 60. Like, the difference between the 25th best player in this draft and the 45th best player in this draft is tiny. And for the Packers, like, I think the smartest move would be, unless one of those tier one guys is there for you, and I think there's a good chance that there will be someone there that they really like, then moving back into the 30s, even the late 20s, but I'm thinking, like, you know, low 30s, those, like, between 31 and 38, and picking up another day two pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the ideal here, because, you know, you still there's the depth on this roster is what you're trying to address, and to add day two pieces at corner, at receiver, maybe you add an extra offensive lineman in addition to the pass rusher that you want to bring in. I think adding picks is certainly the optimal way in a draft like this to address it.
Absolutely. Peter Bukowski joining us here on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I know you're not just a Packers guy, but you're an all-around sports guy. It is opening day here. Well, not here in Milwaukee, but for the Brewers. They're in New York today. Their home opener is on Monday. What is your excitement level for opening day in general and then for this Brewers team?
You know, opening day has never been something that I've, like, circled on my calendar, like, okay, yeah, let's go. But I think that like, this Brewers team, specifically coming off the way that it ended last year, I think every Brewers fan, and myself included, is excited to just sort of wipe that taste out of their mouth. The problem is, it's a 162-game season.
Yep.
So you can't really do that day one. Like, in the NFL or in college, you get fewer games. And so one game, like, if your season ends badly, you come out and you win week one. Hell yeah, we're so back. And that means something. Like, that one win means something.
Yep.
Coming out and winning on opening day is not going to erase what happened to Devin Williams. It's not going to erase what happened against the Mets. And so, and I know Devin Williams not on the team anymore, but it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you can be really excited about it. And I do think there's plenty of reasons to be excited about this young team. Like, who doesn't want to watch Jackson Churio play every day? But it's just, it's hard because the season is so long, and it's just a baseball thing. So that's why day one is a little less exciting for me than say, like, hey, September baseball.
Sure. No, and like we talked about in the first segment, that each baseball game is just a raisin in the trail mix. So you're absolutely right. That's kind of how it works. It is hard to get excited for a game. I think opening day obviously has its celebratory elements that people get up for.
I think if the Brewers had like, you know, if they had a Shohei Ohtani, a superstar pitcher, then it would be like, okay, cool. Day one, I get to see my guy on the bump and, like, let's go.
Right.
But that's also not baseball anymore. Like, you need multiple pitchers. These guys don't go deep into games. Like, this is not Ben Sheets, you know, in 2007. It's just like the baseball has changed so much since then. It's not, you don't have Pedro Martinez, who you're going to trot out there and go, okay, he's going to give us 8 innings today.
Right.
And maybe he throws a no hitter. Like, it's going to be a combined no hitter if you throw one, and that's not as fun.
No, that is how the sport has changed. You're absolutely right. And I know you're a Bucks guy too. Giannis didn't play last night. They think he's just missing one game. Dame obviously out indefinitely. Bobby not coming back till April 8th. Is like, they are a frustrating team to watch that still has potential to be a very, very good team if everything works out perfectly. Is there any way that everything works out perfectly?
Well, we've seen the Bucks over the last, half decade, and it has only worked out perfectly one time. The injuries have just absolutely massacred them. Like, imagine David Bakhtiari's ACL injury in 2020 and 2021. Only it's 5 years, and it's like a different guy every time. It's really tough. But at the same time, like, if it's Bucks Pacers in the first round, I will feel confident picking the Bucks in that series. If it's Bucks Cavs in the second round, like, I think that's a decent matchup for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have Giannis and you have Dame, if they have those guys, they're going to be dangerous. What sucks is, like, the end of that Phoenix game, for example, it's almost April.
Yeah.
And you can't have AJ Green running into Giannis on the inbound play where you have a chance, if they don't run into each other, to get a really good look. If you can get Giannis curling to the basket, he's going to score, and he's going to score in a hurry. Instead, they have to throw it to Brook Lopez with almost 4 seconds left on the clock. And I don't know if you clocked this. He almost doesn't get the shot off.
Right, because he's a big guy. I mean, he takes a while. Right, he loads up the shot. Like, that's how he does it.
And so, that's the frustrating part. You have 27 coaches, and you can't get a freaking out-of-bounds play to try and win a game without one of your best players. Like, that's the stuff that does not give you confidence that they can turn this around in the postseason. That's the problem.
Follow Peter Bukowski on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. He has a great follow. Tons of in-depth Packers stuff and then some other local sports tidbits here and there, including Jokic getting the some good video. Yeah, that's not an assist, by the way. You took two dribbles. It's not an assist.
Pump fake from the three-point line, a layup, and it's an assist.
Right.
Break.
Yeah, that's not an assist. Peter, thank you so much for jumping on today. Really had a blast. Let's get you on the Mason Crosby Show soon. And especially as the draft comes up, because, you know, as much as Mason and I are going to be talking Packers and draft stuff, we need somebody who really is in the weeds, in depth, doing the work with the focus that those of us with ADHD don't necessarily have.
All right, let's do it. Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Peter.
All right.
That's Peter Bukowski, co-founder of The Leap, host of Locked On Packers and Locked On Sports Today. We didn't get any dad jokes from him, but in his Twitter bio, he does say he's a dad joke aficionado, so we'll have to do that next time. We'll be back to wrap things up, and I'm going to crosstalk with myself and the kicker as well. Coming up, it's Pack-A-Day Radio, the Pack-A-Day Radio Show on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM. The Fan, our studio is powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.